Take our Bibles this morning, open up to the book of Genesis, chapter number 15. In Genesis chapter number 15, we're continuing on in our series through the book of Genesis, and we've been looking at the life of this man Abram and this life of this man Lot here for a little while now. We're going to continue on doing that this morning, and the title of this morning's message is Abram Talks with God. Abram Talks with God. I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things in our Christian life is that we can communicate with God. I mean, God desires that we cast our cares upon Him. God desires that we speak with Him. And God speaks to us also through a still small voice and through the preaching of His Word, through the reading of His Word. I know God works in my heart and God speaks to me. And I'm sure that God speaks to you in your heart too as you make yourself available to Him, as you have your heart ready to hear the message that God has in store for you. This morning, we're going to look at this passage of Scripture, and we're going to try to look at these first six verses here in Genesis chapter number 15. We'll go ahead and start with verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said unto the Lord God, What wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell me the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur and out of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask the Lord's help today. Lord, speak to people's hearts. Lord, help us to understand that God wants us to speak to Him. God's ability and His plan for us overvalues anything that we could actually ever desire to do with our lives. Help us to understand this life of faith, this walk of faith, is one that will have bumps in the road. But Lord, as we look to You, Lord, it'll be counted to us, Lord, for righteousness' sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you go back to verse number 1, it said, after these things, and you say, what things are we talking about? Well, a few weeks ago we learned what happened with Abram, and we learned what happened with Lot, and we're going to go over some of those details, and also to try to lead into the story, the things that we're trying to teach here this morning. We remember last time when there was 5 kingdoms and there's 4 kings, and these 4 kings went and attacked these 5 different kings and kingdoms, and that this general or this king had conquered all the areas, including one special area, which was Sodom. And we remember in the story, Lot had a nephew. Abram had a nephew named Lot. And this man, Lot, in his own fleshly desires, made a bad decision and headed towards Sodom. And while in Sodom, this war happens, and Lot is taken and he's captured as a prisoner. Someone breaks free from the group. You say, well, that's lucky that someone broke free. There's no luck involved in it. This is part of what God is in control of all things. And as God's in control of all things, He led that individual, that gentleman, to Abram. And He said, look, Lot, thy brother is gone, or thy nephew is gone. And they went and they fought this battle. Abram and then 2 or 3 of his other people that were close by him, he took his family or his trained servants, and they went and they captured those that had taken Lot captured and those that had destroyed these kingdoms. And with God's help, we looked at how faith was in action. And Abram went and took and brought back all the people that had been captured, brought back all the goods, all the spoils, and brought them all back. And then while we're there, we remember how the king of Sodom came out and told Abram, look, give me the souls. You can have all the spoils. And Abram said, no, I don't want anything from you. He also remember there was a character called Melchizedek during this time period, who was the king of Salem, that we know that was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek and also a king at the same time, that came out and encouraged him. So after all these things happened, God has used Abraham to make a great victory. And so here's Abram leave. Everybody leaves. You see Lot leaving. I want you to picture this. Remember, there's been a great battle. The great battle won. Abram has then been lifted up to this position of being the winner, the valiant man. King of Sodom comes and said, hey, look, just give me my people back. You can have everything you want. And Abram, he says, no, I don't want anything from you. I'm not going to be able to let you say that you made me rich. So Sodom, the king of Sodom turned around and left. And the king of Sodom, you can imagine, is probably gets excited. He says, can you believe that guy? He had the chance, had all this untold wealth. And this is the wealth of many different kingdoms. We're talking about a lot of spoils. And he said, no. So Sodom, the king of Sodom is pretty happy. He's walking away. He's probably talking to his prime minister or the general saying, can you believe this guy? This guy must not be very smart. He gave up all these riches. Why? Then you see Lot leaving too. And we looked at this a few weeks ago. And I said, how in the world could Lot, after his family being captured, taken as slaves, turn around and go right back to Sodom? And I've been thinking about that a little bit, and I've been praying about that a little bit. And I think that Abram must have tried to encourage Lot to stay. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, Sodom is a place of wickedness. Sodom is a place where God is going to destroy soon. God is giving them mercy by showing them what could happen to them. God is trying to speak to these people, trying to get them right. He gives Lot some patience here. He allows Lot to be captured, and Abram comes and frees Lot. Don't you think at this point in time it would clue into Lot and say, you know what? I need to be with Abram. I don't need to be with all these wicked people. But he heads right back to Sodom. Now, I'm wondering if Abram says, why don't you believe in the one true God? Why don't you trust in the one true God? You know what Lot or Lot's family could have said? Because we know Lot has a wife here. Lot has some daughters here. I can imagine that maybe Lot said as he was leaving, how can I trust in a God that promised you a heritage, an heir that is as many as the sands of the seas, as many as the stars in the skies? And you look, you're here in your 70s. Possibly your 80s, and don't even have a child yet. How can you believe in that God that has not given you that thing that he's promised you? And I can see Lot leaving, even maybe the children mocking Abram a little bit, saying, how can you trust in that God? He hasn't provided what he's promised. Why are you worshiping and living for this God when he doesn't even give you what he's promised? We come here in verse number 1, and you see that the first few words that's written, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, now look at those three words, fear not, Abram. There's three things I want you to look at today. First is Abram's fear, then Abram's focus, and then Abram's faith. The first thing is God comes to Abram, and he says this phrase, fear not. Now, this word, fear not, is found often in the Bible. Many times when God is getting ready to do something great in a person's life, the fear comes up in an individual's life, and God comes to Abram and says, fear not. It might be the first time we find this in the Bible, but it's not the last time. I went back, and I was looking through some of the studies, and I see when he spoke to Mary, and when I see many times when God was calling something great, he would say to him, fear not. He says, look, you have nothing to be afraid. And that's what he's telling Abram. Look, don't be afraid. And he begins to give a description of why he does not need to be afraid. First thing I want you to think about is the peace that comes from knowing God. The peace that comes from knowing God. Under Abram's fear, we must understand there is a peace that comes from knowing God. And men like to encourage us to walk in peace. Men would tell us not to be afraid, but their words are empty and their words are powerless, except when God himself speaks peace to our hearts. Then and only then can we have true peace. The Bible we learned in Sunday school this morning, the phrase that David had written down, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. David was being hunted down like a dog. He had entered into a foreign land, an enemy land. He had been kind of captured and brought before the king. And God delivered him. And as he's leaving, he's saying, look, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. The truth is, there is fear in many of our hearts. And one of the things that most people are most afraid of is living for God. And we talked about a fear of living this morning. We talked about a fear of leaving. We talked about a fear of leading. But most people are afraid to live for God today. Because of the fact they're worried about their family, worried about what their friends may say. But God comes to Abram and says, look, don't you worry what that king said. Don't you worry about that other king that's up there that you conquered. You know, he's probably pretty mad right now. And these five kings or four kings in these great kingdoms that could destroy five other kingdoms, Abram goes and conquers them. He probably made an enemy there. God says, look, don't you be afraid of that. Don't you be afraid of the fact that I've made you a promise and that promise has not come true yet. Don't you be afraid. There is a peace There is a peace that comes from knowing God. This morning, if you know God, if you know Him as your personal Savior, He promises to offer you peace. In Philippians, it says, be careful for nothing. It means don't worry about anything. That means don't fret. That means not be fearful, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We live in a world today that is full of turmoil, that is full of trials, that's full of tribulations, and God says in His word that you can have peace today because of His relationship with you. You can have peace from knowing God. And that's what God comes. And Abram is probably a little disappointed here. Abram's probably a little bit lonely. Abram's looking around as the king of Sodom is carrying all his goods back. Abram's looking as Lot is leaving and Lot has these children. Abram's looking all around. He's saying, Lord, where is the things that you promised me? And God says, don't you be afraid. As we look around this world today, you know, there are going to be people who question us. There's going to be people that seem like maybe they're getting the most. There's going to be people out there in this world that seems like they're living the high life. But I can guarantee one thing, they don't have the peace that God can offer. They don't have the peace of knowing that you've lived for God, you've done what was right, and you have your faith and trust in God and God alone. I mean, we hear all these great all these actors and these athletes and all these things, and we hear about what, high divorce rates. We hear about drug abuse. We hear about suicides. We hear about all this turmoil, this boyfriend, this girlfriend, all this change, all this money. None of these things bring the peace that only God can bring, and that's a peace that passeth all human understanding. And that's what God comes to Abram first. He's made a wise decision. He's got a new appreciation and understanding of God from King Melchizedek and from the high priest Melchizedek. And he says, God comes to him and says, look, you did the right thing. Don't you be afraid. Christian, if you're standing for God today and trying to do what's right, don't be afraid. God comes to you and says, look, fear not. Second thing is that not only is there a peace that comes from knowing God, but there is also a protection that comes from knowing God. You keep on going in verse number one there. He says, not only says, fear not, he says, I am thy shield. I am thy shield. Abraham needed not fear the attack of his enemies. The Lord had camped about him, and he had, was providing a perfect protection day and night. Psalms 34:7, discussing the same thing that happened in David earlier. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. And remember, this man, Chedorlaomer, he was a great king. He had many people that would pay tribute to him. These other people rebelled. He went down there and he taught them a lesson. He imagined if he is a king of this great kingdom and there were three other kingdoms that were there with him. They had a great army. They were able to take down cities. They were able to take down nations and kingdoms. Abram and his trained soldiers go and deliver him and defeat this great army. You can imagine that this man goes back home and is not very happy with Abram. You can imagine that the devil comes to Abram and says, you know what that guy is going to do? That guy is going to go home. He's going to regroup. He's going to bring back twice as many men. And he's going to put an end to you and an end to your little family. You know what God says? Don't worry about them. He says, not only am I telling you not to fear, the reason why you don't have to fear is because I am thy shield. I am thy protector. I love the story of Elisha. There's a story that told about Elisha, and he's camping in the midst of a valley, and the king gets really, really mad because Elisha keeps on telling the nation of Israel's king, look, the Midianites, I believe, they're in a certain area. Don't go that way. And this king starts asking his people, who is the spy? Who is telling Israel all their plans? And he says, it's none of us, king. It's this prophet of God named Elisha. Every time you tell us something, he goes and he tells the king of Israel, and they're always saved. Well, this king said, okay, we'll take care of this guy Elisha. It's just one guy. What's the big deal? He brings out this whole army, and this whole army encamps at night around on the mountains or the hills where Elisha's staying below. The next morning, Elisha's servant gets up. His minister or servant gets up, probably get ready to start making some food. He walks up and he sees all around the hills and the mountains, he sees this army that looks like it's getting ready to attack. Elisha wakes up. He goes and he wakes Elisha up and says, Elisha, Elisha, we're in tremendous danger. Well, you know what Elisha does? Elisha prays and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Say, what are you getting at, Pastor? I'm getting at the fact that Elisha was doing what was right. And even though there was an army of men that was coming to take Elisha and probably kill Elisha, God had an army that no man could see that was protecting Elisha. And what God is saying to Abram here, he said, look, don't you be worried about these other kings. Don't you be worried about the circumstances. Don't be concerned. He says, I am thy shield. Look, you don't have to be afraid, because there's a peace that comes from knowing God, but also there's a protection that comes from knowing God. If you are doing what's right and you are living for God, God will protect you so you can fulfill your plan and purpose in this world. Now, this next phrase I thought was really cool, and I'm hoping I can do it justice. There is a prize that cometh from knowing God. There is a prize that cometh from knowing God. Now, think that comes from knowing God. Look at this last phrase. He says to Abram, look, fear not. He says, look, I'm thy shield, which means I'm your protector. He says, and thy exceeding great reward. You know, Abram's left his home. Abram's left everything to follow after God and follow after God's will. And here he sees the king of Sodom leaving with all this stuff. And here he sees Lot leaving with his family. Here he sees all these different things and these other men that came alongside and helped him, all congratulating one another, all being rewarded. And God comes to him and says, look, don't worry about any of that. He says, I'm your reward. And, you know, that stuck with me all week. God not only says that he is Abram's reward, he says he's an exceeding great reward. Now, when earthly treasure cannot compare to God's love, earthly treasure cannot compare to God's grace, his mercy, his salvation, his forgiveness, the presence, the peace, the power, all those things cannot compare to God. God's peace, God's power. The Bible says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs of Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, here's the idea is that I see this and I understand, boy, heaven is going to be great someday. As a child of God, God's got these great promises. But I think God was telling Abraham, it's even a step farther. I think he was telling Abraham, he says, look at all they have, but you have me. They have all those things. They have all these pleasures. They have all these products. He says, but you have me. And I think about all the world has to offer. But then I think about what a Christian has in a relationship with God. It's exceeding great reward. Now, we don't look to him. We don't turn to him. The Apostle Paul got this. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The Apostle Paul says, I'm willing to forsake everything because I see my reward, and my reward is God himself. Because God can become my everything. And believe me, this passes over so many people's heads and passes over so many people's minds because they're so interested in the earthly things. They're so interested in the parties. They're so interested in the friends. They're so interested in what they can get out of this world. And God says to Abram, look, don't you be afraid. I'm your shield, but more than your shield, I am your exceeding great reward. He says, my relationship with you is greater and can be greater to you than anything that they're carrying away, than any child could ever be to you, than anything this world has to offer. I am better, and I can develop a relationship with you. That can be our exceeding great reward. I want you to take out this day and say, why in the world would God say that to Abram? Abraham was rich. We learned that he had 318 trained soldiers that were trained people that worked for him. That doesn't count the old, doesn't count the really young, doesn't count the women. We're talking about he probably had at least 1,000 people that worked for him. That doesn't count the herds and all the tents and all the riches that he had. And he says, none of that stuff really matters. But he says, I am your exceeding great reward. You know what? I think many of us miss why we are here. God is our reward. That relationship we can have with God, that peace he can offer, that hope that he gives, the power we can live by, the presence of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace and mercy of God, that is greater than any reward we could ever ask, want, or think about? Shouldn't we hold on to what that reward God says we have? So often we throw it away. We don't have time to read our Bibles. Don't have enough time to pray. Abram's probably a little disappointed. He's a little discouraged. Probably a little bit lonely. God says, look, fear not. I am thy shield. I can protect you through anything. He says, but I am thy exceeding great reward. Second thing, not only is it Abram's fear that I want you to look at, I want you to see Abram's focus. And we need to move quickly on this. Abram's focus, we see here, he just tells God like it is. He has a relationship with God. He had friendship with God. He left the Ur of Chaldees. He's here. He's living in God's will. He's already been at the altar. He's already got things right with God. Abram says to him in verse number 2, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I have no child? So he's seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. God, Abraham has a simple plea. His request was simple. It was direct. He's saying, God, you promised me something. You have not given me what you promised me. What am I supposed to do? Abraham says in verse number 3, and Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. He's referring to the traditions back then that whoever was the head of the household that was born in his heir, that would become his heir, even though it was not Abraham's blood child. And Abram's worried about this. He says, God, you've made me a promise. Why are you not fulfilling this promise? Now, I want you to see there's something we can learn here. We see that Abram, at this moment in time, is coming to God and he's being direct. I got to be honest with you. We can learn because we need to pray to God like this. Not in with an attitude. Not in a way that we feel like we have pride. God, you owe me this. But he's being direct. Many times we have not because we ask not. Many times we don't turn around and look at our lives and say, God, you know what? You've promised me the blessings. You've promised to take care of my needs. Lord, you promised that we could see fruit. Lord, I'm doing all these things. Why, God, are you not letting me accomplish these things? And sometimes if we were direct with God, I think God would speak to our hearts and say, well, the reason why I'm not blessing you is because you're not giving like you're supposed to. The reason why I'm not letting you see fruit is because you're not living this way or you're not telling others. The reason why this is a problem, and if we were honest and direct, I think God would speak to our hearts. So many times we pray vaguely and we don't ask specifically, and we need to learn to speak to God just as Abram did. And Abram said, God, you gave me a promise. And this is his plea. He's saying, God, where is the promise you've given me? And so many times in our Christian lives, God's given us promises and we're looking around saying, God, where are you at? Where are you at? God, where are you at? We don't let God work in us. See, our job in praying is not trying to get God's will done here on the earth. It's trying to get God's will done. I'm sorry, it's not us trying to get our will done in heaven. It's trying to get God's will done in earth with our lives. And God says to Abram, look, I got a plan for you. So we see God's promise here. God's promised him something. And I want you to see here in verse number 5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. Now, not only is it Abram's plea, but see God's promise here. Abram's focus was not on the riches. Abram's focus wasn't on, man, that king of Sodom took back $2 million in loot that should be mine. No, he doesn't care about that. He has enough. He's in God's will. He says, you promised me something. And he says, God, I want you to make good on your promise. You know, here's an amazing thing is, he's not asking for more things. God can give us things. He's asking God to do the supernatural here. He says, God, you made me a promise. And God, I believe that you're able to do this. And he talks about how God has designed this promise that's going to overcome the laws of nature. Abraham's so old at this point in time. He really shouldn't be able to have children at this point in time. And he's saying, God, why in the world are you doing this? And we see God's power here and Abraham's potential in the stars. He says, look up to the stars. He says, you got all those stars. Can you number them? And we used to think that we could number the stars, but we can't number the stars. And how many stars there are in the thousands. And he's saying, look, that's how many children or your heirs will be. That's what your heritage is going to be. Here in the story, I want you to understand Abraham's focus was not on things, but instead it was focused on God's promises. And that's what we need to focus on. Our plea should be based around, God, you have promised me this. God, you said you would bless. God, you would use me. And we need to say, God, I know I can't do it myself, but God, in your power and your timing, I want you to do the supernatural in my life. And we see Abram's future and Abram's potential, and we see God's power, and it's an abundant power. God says, look up to the sky. My plan for you is greater than anything you could ever think. So many times people think if they live for God, they're throwing their lives away. They're shortchanging themselves. And God is saying that he is willing to do more than we ask or even think. He's willing to give us an abundant life, it says in John 10:10. And in the scriptures, he teaches us that he is more than enough than what we need. So in this story, we have him come along and God says to Abram, look, don't be afraid. Look, Abram, I'm your shield. I am your exceeding reward. And Abram says, God, if this is all true, where's my heir at? You promised me. And God says, now come, I want you to look at the stars. He made him this promise again. This promise was one of supernaturalness. This was saying, Abraham, your future is amazing. Abraham, what I have planned for you is something special. It's more than you could even ask or think. It's the abundant life. Now, are you going to believe it or not? And see, God has a plan for each of us, young or old. Whether you're in your teens, all the way up to your 80s, 90s, or even 100, God has something special planned for you. But here's the thing, in verse number 6, we see it says, and he believed in the Lord. We see Abraham's faith here. We see Abram hearing the promise of God, and he doesn't sit down, he doesn't reason out and say, okay, God says he's going to do this for me. He said, look at the stars in the sky, look at the sands of the sea. Okay, but I don't even have an heir, what am I supposed to do? It doesn't say that Abram sits and wonders. What does it say Abram does? He believes in him. I want you to see that Abram is believing in God. You see the depth and the direction of his faith. It's believing in God. Abram has been moved beyond just hearing the word. He believes in the promise of God. He's moved beyond the realm of casting himself on just hoping. Instead, he puts his faith completely in God. He doesn't just believe his word anymore. He believes in God himself. Now, Abraham believed in the Lord. He believed what God had said. You know what? This should challenge us. And we're almost done here. I want you to get this. I want you to understand it says that he believed in the Lord. What is it that you don't believe about God? It's simply put, Abram, you're going to have a child, your heirs, your nation that's going to be from you is going to be so much the sands of the seas and the stars in the sky. And you know what? If God told us that, we'd be like, yeah, right, God, you've fallen off your rocker. No. God has told us in his word that he will do us great things with us as we allow him to. And Abram here, he doesn't question God. He doesn't say, okay, God, I don't believe you. I'm going to go do something else. No. What does he do? He says he believed in God. You know, sometimes we get in trouble here at our church. And the simple reason is because we believe in what God says. Well, don't you believe this? And don't you see this? Shouldn't you change this? Shouldn't you change that? And I just tell people, I simply believe in God. You know, the Bible says it. That settles it for me. And it might not always make sense to the world. And I spent a long time with somebody this past week, and we had a lot of conversation, and it was, and just simply put, I know that that might be hard for somebody to understand, but the Bible says it, and I believe that. You know, whether it be the Trinity, the Bible says it, and I believe the Bible says it, and that's the truth, because it's in the Bible. I believe what the Bible says about life and the preciousness of life. I believe what the Bible says about the sin of homosexuality. I believe what the Bible says about what a man and a woman, how they should not have sexual relationships before they're married. I believe the Bible. And that's what God is saying in this word about Abram. He says he believed in God. And that's simply where we need to get an understanding. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in his word? Do you believe in your feelings or in God's word? If God's word says this, then this is what we should do. And that's what Abram did. Abram said, okay, God, if that's what you say, I believe you. And that's where we need to grab a hold of God's promises. He begins this conversation and he tells Abram, look, fear not. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram said, okay, Lord, can you tell me how you're going to make this work out? He said, no, I'm not going to tell you, but this is what I'm going to do for you. And sometimes we don't always understand why God allows us to do certain things or go through certain things, but we need to believe in God. We need to be faithful to God. Faithful to God, faithful to his word. That's simply put, he believed in God. Now look at this next phrase, and we'll finish with this. It says, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And we see the dividend of his faith. See, faith in God always pays off big. And Abraham was no exception. When Abram believed God, God erased Abram's sin and applied his own perfect righteousness to Abram's account. God looked at Abram as being as a just and a righteous man because he believed in God. You say, where do you get that from? Well, in Romans chapter 4, it gives a little commentary. In the book of Galatians, it gives some commentary. In Romans 4, it says, what shall ye say then, when that Abraham our fathers, pertaining to the flesh, have found? For Abraham, if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. And what the Bible is saying there, if Abraham could have been justified, could have been made righteous by his works, then you know what? He could glory to God. He could say, God, I'm going to heaven because I did this. That just doesn't happen. But instead it says, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace. He says, if you try to work your way to heaven, it's not by grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. This morning, do you believe in what God says about salvation? The Bible says that you cannot earn your way to heaven. The Bible says no matter how much work you do, there's no time and place that you can earn your way to heaven. You can get up to heaven, look to God and say, hey, God, I want that mansion over there. I worked. I earned it. I deserve it. That just won't happen. But you can believe in what God says, and the word of God says, and what the Bible says. And what the Bible says is, by putting your faith and trust in God, it can be counted for righteousness' sake for you. This morning, do you believe what the Bible says? It says that we're all sinners. It says because of our sin, we are lost and dying and going to a horrible place called hell. And that Jesus Christ came to this world, he died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again to pay our sin debt for us. And by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we can have eternal life. We can have heaven as our home. Remember, here's the thing. If you've never done that, believe in God today. We're going to have an invitation in a second where people come forward. If they like to deal with God, come see me. I'd love to have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. But I want you to see here as we close to the Christian. I want you to consider this. Remember where the journey began. God came and spoke to Abram and said, at the Ur of the Chaldees, I want you to leave. I'm going to make a great nation of you. By you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. All the families of the world will be blessed. We know that now because Jesus Christ was coming through that line. And here in this story, God tells Abram. Abram follows. He has some bumps in the road. And Abram comes to this spot after this great victory. God is growing this man. God is teaching this man. God is showing this man. And he has this great victory. Everyone's gone. He looks around and he's saying, well, Lot's family left, but where's my heir at? God says, look, don't be afraid. I'm going to protect you. Not only am I going to protect you, your prize is me. You know, we need to work on a relationship with God. He can be our everything. When we turn to him, he can give us hope. He can give us faith. He can give us peace. He can give us something that nothing the world can offer. It's not the type of peace the world offers. It's a type of peace that lasts as in sincerity. What time I am afraid, I will trust in him. Now, we see Abram's fear here, but God worked through his fear. God showed him and taught him. And what does it say Abram did? His focus was on what God could do. Is that where your focus is? What God could do in your life? And then we see Abram's faith. It was counted unto him for righteousness. What was counted? He just believed God. It wasn't the fact that he went and destroyed these people. He captured Lot, recaptured Lot or whatever. It wasn't the fact he had all these servants. It wasn't the fact he had all these things. God blessed them because he believed in God. Do you believe in God this morning? Do you truly believe this is his word? Because if this is his word, we need to live by it. We need to give our hearts and lives over to it and let God be our exceeding great reward. Not worry about the things of this world, but let God be our exceeding great reward. And we will never regret what we let God do for us. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.